Good morning. First of all, I just want to say that I am not worthy to be standing up here and talking to you today. I'm still a work in progress. And nothing that I say here about my life is to boast or brag about my accomplishments, but to show how weak and broken I am, and how strong and loving and gracious God truly is. I was a short, overweight, chubby little kid. My mom, bless her heart, used the word husky to describe me. Love her. She used the word husky, but the kids at school would use other words to describe me. And I remember in middle school, the bigger kids would see how far they could shove my short little chubby body into the lockers. I was bullied a lot, picked on a lot, and that really formed my personality and the way I was for almost all of my adult life. I always felt like I had something to prove. I always feel, and sometimes still do feel, like I have to prove that I'm not that short kid that got picked on so much. I always had to be the best in my adult life, and it just wasn't with, you know, everything. I had to excel at everything. I had to, if I got to one part, I had to prove that I could go to the next part. And it really shaped who I was. So as a child, I always thought being a police officer would be a really cool thing to do. I had a couple family members that were police officers, and I thought the first step would be to get some sort of a background. I had no training or any background in that. So I joined the Marine Corps in 1996, and I excelled, as I knew I would, because that was my focus. My one desire was to excel at everything. And I was married. Me and Rachel were already married. And we went to church, and she was a lot further on her walk than I was. I just went. But my mindset was, God can stay here. I'm in charge. I'm in the lead. I'm going to make things happen for myself. Not him. So I excelled at everything I tried. And when I wanted to do special operations in the Marine Corps, I was able to do that. And God was the least thing on my mind. Just excelling and proving to everyone that I wasn't weak, that I wasn't that little kid anymore. So I excelled and I did good. And I was excellent at what I did. I got to do things that you see on television. Out of helicopters, roping out of helicopters, shooting all these amazing weapons. Everything I excelled at. And I did. Once I exited the Marine Corps, I did. I filled my lifelong dream of being a police officer. And I excelled at the police academy. I was a squad leader. And I was a police officer, and I was good at it. I had a lot of arrests, DUI arrests, which was one thing I really wanted to do, was do that, get people off the streets that were doing that. But then that wasn't enough. I wanted to be on the SWAT team, because that's where all the best officers were, was the SWAT team. And, of course, I made it. I did it. We were going to church at the time, still, and we had a church in Chesterton, Indiana, that we were going to. And, again, I just went. I believed. I believed in God, and I knew that Jesus loved me, and I knew that He was there with me, but I wasn't there with Him. I was doing my thing. I was going to succeed on my own. And being a police officer, really, I wouldn't say it was a blessing, but it really pushed me to where I am today. Because I absolutely saw the worst in human beings. Because no one calls a police officer to say, hey, I'm having a good day today. Why don't you come over and take a look at this? Or, hey, I just mowed my grass. Why don't you come over and take a look at it? No, you're dealing with people at the absolute worst. Either you're pulling them over for doing something that they did wrong, and then they're really at their worst. Or you're going there to settle a dispute, people arguing, or other situations. I have been spit on, and other things, and it really jaded me towards people. And the situation came up where they were starting to do some budget cuts, and I was really kind of fed up with the whole situation as it was, being on the team and everything. SWAT team wasn't fulfilling me, so I figured I had to find something else to fill that void. And Rachel and I talked about it, and she said, why don't you look at going back into the military? And she said, but don't go running back into the Marine Corps. See what other services have to offer. So I went ahead and went straight to the Marine Corps recruiter's office, and because I love the Marine Corps, and they were kind of too busy to talk to me. Afghanistan had already started, and the war in Iraq was looming in the future, and they were kind of too busy to talk to a prior service guy. They really weren't interested at that time. But right across the hall, the Army recruiter was sitting there rubbing his hands together waiting for me to come out. And I came out and he said, hey, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to get back into service, prior service, Marine Corps. He's like, come on in and have a talk with me. So I went through all the stuff to get into the Army, and they offered me all these jobs. And I said, well, what do you got in combat arms? Because, you know, I'm not going to go do something easy. I got to be out there doing dangerous things. I got things I still have to prove. You know, I haven't done enough. So he said, I'll tell you what. I got a job opening for your rank coming back in that you'll be out in front of the front lines. You'll be a scout, a cavalry scout. They do reconnaissance. You'll be in front of the front lines, out doing things and trying to find the enemy for the infantry and stuff. And I said, and he said, the life expectancy in a full-out war is about 10 to 12 seconds. I said, all right, that's all right with me. So I signed up for that. So I got in the Army, and I'm doing well. But that wasn't enough. Somebody had opened up my eyes to a thing called Special Forces, Green Berets. And I thought, well, they got to be the best. They get to wear a special hat. So I'm going to go for that. But I had put in all the paperwork and did all the things I needed to do that. But the war in Iraq started, and I was asked to go. My unit had said, could you please wait until we're done with this to go? And I said, of course, I'm going to go to war, which I really didn't want to, but I played a good front saying I was ready to go. No one wants to go to war. But we got there, and we were doing good things. And I remember this distinctly, because this, I believe, is the moment where I truly knew that God loved me, that Christ was there with me, and that I was going to be His. It was in July of 2003. I was up in the northeastern part of Iraq, and we had taken some casualties. We had lost some people, and I really didn't know if I was going to make it at that point. I had a group of guys, I had a squad to myself, and at that point, after seeing the people that were taken, which were good soldiers, strong soldiers, I really doubted myself. And I thought, gosh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And I was just, I couldn't breathe. I didn't know. I had Rachel and Jacob and Noah at the time, and I didn't know if I was ever going to see them again. And we had just lost a few more people. And I'm sitting in this room, and I'll never forget it. It was hot, as it usually is in Iraq and over there. And I heard this voice in my head. It wasn't an audible voice. It wasn't dramatic. But I heard this voice in my head say, "You are going to be okay. And I love you." And just this warmth and this feeling of comfort came over me. And I know it was God reaching to me. All he wanted to know, I believe what he wanted to know is if I was going to reach back to him. And I just started crying. And I felt just this comfort come over me that I had never felt. In the middle of all this turmoil going on in my life, I felt comforted. And I just knew he was reaching to me to let me know I was going to be okay. And I remember getting a Bible from the chaplain when I got on the plane to go to Iraq. And it stuck in my rucksack, and I had never opened it. And I picked it up, and I just could not stop reading. And not only did I read it, but for the first time in my life, I understood what was being said to me. And I went ahead and just kept reading, and in between missions, I would read everything. I started in the New Testament and just kept reading until I had to go somewhere else or try to get some sleep. And I ended up getting hooked up with a chaplain over there, and he opened my eyes to this verse. And it's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I understood the first verse, 6, but number 7 really didn't. I was new to all this. Even though I had grown up in the church, I was new to all this. And so I did that. I made my request known to God. And he got me to where I needed to be. And so I ended up being able to go to Special Forces. And I was doing really well. And I took my Bible and I read it. And I even shared my story with some of the guys that I was there with. I knew this is where God wanted me to be. This is where I'm supposed to be. He's opened my eyes. I'm here. And then a few days later, I dislocated my shoulder 4 times in 45 minutes and was medically dropped from the program. I was devastated. What's God doing? I believe him. This is where I was supposed to be. And I was angry. Why would God do this to me? To me! I was doing good things. And I'm sitting one night, and I'm just sitting there angry. I'm angry at everybody except myself. It was everybody else's fault but myself. And I'm sitting there, and my arm's all wrapped up in a sling and everything, and another voice, audible voice in my head, and it wasn't dramatic again, but said, "Hey, whose glory were you doing this for? Yours or mine?" And it was just like the VeggieTales, the Nineveh, the fish slappers. Everyone know that one? It was like somebody slapped a fish up my face. And I was like, wow. I could fool myself into thinking I was doing this for God, and I could fool everybody else, but you're not going to fool God. God knows your heart. And even after all that I had done in my life, I was still trying to prove something. And God knew it. And he wasn't going to let me get off on this one. So, eventually I recovered from that, and after a series of many unfortunate events, I actually was out of the Army for a few years, recovering medically, and I was medically discharged, and by the grace of God, I was able to get back into the Army. And I thought, this is the path that he wants me to be at. This is where I'm supposed to be. He wouldn't have made it possible for me to be here in the Army Again, if it wasn't meant to be. So things were going great. Things were going good. I was back in my career. This is where I was going to make my career. I was going to stay in the Army for 20, hopefully do more, if they'll let me. And I started moving up, getting new titles, getting another promotion, and was doing real well. But I drifted. Again, I was more worried about that title and that promotion and moving up than I was my relationship with God. And I got injured. Again, I had a hernia. And they said, well, you better go get it fixed because it's going to pose big problems to you down the road and you're not getting any younger. That's always nice to hear. And so the surgery is supposed to be super simple, real easy, in and out, done. And it was. It was super easy. It was done. And then 5 days later, I'm being rushed to, what's that hospital over there? Good Samaritan Hospital. I get there, and they rush me in. I told them what was wrong. They rush me in, and I had multiple blood clots that had formed in my lungs and has collapsed part of my right lung and started to try to move into other areas that would have been even worse. So they hurried up and put me on blood thinners, and I stayed in the hospital, I believe, for 4 or 5 days. I was released on late in the afternoon on Christmas Eve. And things seemed to be going. I was stabilized. I was good. And things were starting to go okay. I was feeling a little bit better. And then the first bout of pneumonia hit me and attacked that part of my lung. And then a couple months later, another bout of pneumonia attacked that part of the lung. And then about 4 months later, another bout of pneumonia attacked that lung. And it's permanently damaged. And permanently collapsed in that area. Dead tissue, and it leaks fluid into my bronchial cavity. And then I was told that I'm not going to be in the Army anymore. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is where all I've known my whole life is either military or I've been a policeman. You know, what am I supposed to do? You know, I got a wife and now I got 3 kids to support. And it's just been a long, drawn out process. And again, I got angry. Very angry. What's God doing to me? What's going on? What am I doing wrong? So I thought maybe God was trying to tell me something. And it took a very long time for me to understand, even though I had believed for such a long time, that God does not make bad things happen. He's not picking on me. He's not picking on me like the kids used to. He didn't make this happen. But I know, and I've realized now, that He's using this situation to get me closer to Him, to depend on Him more than me. And during those times of anger, it's not me I'm hurting, it's them. Sorry. It's not fair to them. I'm sorry. But it took me so long to understand what He wanted. He wanted me to depend on Him and not myself. I'm going to close with 2 verses, Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, says, "The rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are just. a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. His purpose, not mine. To his purpose. And it took me so long to realize that. And I just want to say, he is so gracious and so loving and patient. A lot more patient than I am. And I just want to thank God for every day he gives me. And I just want to say thank you all so much for the love and the caring that you've shown my family and I. We are going to miss you guys so much. Thanks. I hope I didn't go over.